Hey guys, welcome back to Chiptunes and Chapters, where we dive into the world of anime, manga, and video game entertainment. On this podcast, we don't just look at the epic sagas that may have defined the generation, we also try to look at those little hidden gems that may have fallen into obscurity over the years, but still have a small, loyal following to this day. The ones that have a memorable storyline or unforgettable characters, or even incredible artwork. The ones that stand out and become memorable masterpieces. So come join us in a world where pixels and prose join together to become one. This is Chiptunes and Chapters. Today we're going to be looking at the anime Vandred and Vandred's Second Stage. This is a series that manages to mix together the giant robot, space opera, and even a little bit of the harem genre. Vandred was first released in 2000 and then in 2002 for Western audiences as two seasons of 13 episodes that became known as Vandred and Vandred's Second Stage. Vandred could very easily have become a classic for its time, but unfortunately it slipped into obscurity when compared to the more popular series of its time. The artwork could almost be considered groundbreaking in that it mixed CGI and traditional animation flawlessly to make for a memorable and enjoyable viewing experience. So strap yourself in as we blast off into the Vandred review. Before I get into the actual review, I want to give my usual spoiler warning. I'll try to avoid giving away any particularly major spoilers, but that being said, I'm not perfect. I do apologise in advance if I do let slip anything particularly major. That being said, let's get underway. As I mentioned in my introduction, sometimes a hidden gem will slip through the cracks. It'll be overshadowed by some of the more popular mainstream titles that also came out around about the same time. So today we're unearthing a buried gem that faded into obscurity despite being way ahead of its time. It had a great blend of CGI animation along with traditional animation, likeable characters, and an enjoyable, cohesive storyline. The episodes themselves were an almost seamless blend of action, drama, and character development. The first episodes introduced us to the warring factions of males and females that came from the planets of Tarak and Majer, respectively. Tarak was very much your stereotypical, patriarchal male society. It was home to a society of men who dedicated themselves to strength, valour, dedication to battle, all the stereotypical macho man stuff. From a young age, the boys of Tarak were indoctrinated with the belief that fighting was the ultimate expression of their worth. This led to a culture that had strong roots in aggression and, I guess you could say, machismo. Characters like the protagonist, Hibiki Tokai, or the comic relief Bart, they pretty much embodied the typical male Tarak archetype, being brash, headstrong, seemingly insensitive to the subtleties of emotional expression. As the series progressed, however, the characters were pretty much forced to confront their own biases and preconceptions. As a result, they ended up being able to grow and evolve beyond their originally rigid upbringings. In a rather stark contrast, the planet Majer was a largely matriarchal society, governed by women, and the entire population of the planet was in fact of the female gender. Here the ideals were pretty much the polar opposite, being nurturing, compassion, and emotional intelligence. All of these were highly valued, resulting in shaping the personalities and the worldviews of the women of Majer. The female protagonist, Dita, and one of her colleagues, Maya, kind of represented the quintessential Majer characters. They were all caring, empathetic, and they possessed a deep connection to their emotional selves. They also got kind of anchored down in their own prejudices, though, about the opposite gender, and this pretty much set the stage for a clash of cultures and different ideologies. When the male fugitives from Tarak and the female pirates of Majer found themselves thrust together aboard the new ship, the Nirvana, it kind of created a powder keg of tension, misunderstanding, and more than a little bit of conflict. The men and women, both being the results of the upbringing of their respective societies, they kind of struggled to comprehend and accept each other's ways of life. This usually ended up leading to moments of humour, poignancy, and I guess you could say overall growth for the characters, because they did very much evolve during the series. Using this collision as a story lever of sorts, Vandred explores the complexities of the gender roles, societal norms, and the barriers that divide us. By forcing the two opposed cultures to coexist, the series kind of challenged the characters and viewers alike to confront their biases and embrace richness of diversity. Ultimately, you could say that the moral of Vandred would be one to remind us that true strength lies not in perpetuating divisions between people, but in recognising our shared humanity and working towards coexistence. Before long, your traditional unknown enemy turns up, and the men and women of the Nirvana are forced to band together to face this unknown threat. They have to learn how to trust one another, and over time, between their joint efforts, they learn more about the hidden secrets of the Nirvana, and they learn more about the hidden pasts of their home planets Majir and Tarak. Along the way, the crew are forced to confront their own biases. They begin to show personal growth, and I guess you could say over time, they learn to find a common ground between their conflicting cultures. Over time, the crew of the Nirvana learn more about their enemy, who, as mentioned earlier, are only known at this point as the Harvester Fleet. In the process, learning about the impending threat to both worlds of Tarak and Majir. It manages to raise the stakes because it no longer is a direct threat to just the members of the Nirvana, but also to their home planets, and they now need to get home in time to be able to warn their planets of the impending threat. Vandred's second stage kind of expands on the storyline of the first season, and that it dives a little bit deeper into the Nirvana itself, including looking into the history of the ancient technology that powers it. Some of the main characters face even greater challenges than they did in the first season. This forces them to face and reflect on the beliefs that they've had their entire life, and as a result it causes them to greatly evolve as characters as a whole. This also reinforces Vandred's reputation for having solid storylines and compelling characters. What really caused Vandred to stand out though was its groundbreaking mixture of CGI and traditional animation. This was during a time when CGI and animation was still in its relative infancy, especially when it came to cartoons. As a result, Vandred was able to seamlessly blend 3D scenes where key battles often took place with traditional animation, which was usually used to elaborate on the storyline or develop their characters further. This successful fusion of techniques was honestly a remarkable achievement, as it managed to showcase the creator's dedication to pushing the boundaries of animation at the time. Vandred also had incredible music between the first and second seasons, with both its opening and closing tracks. Both of these were very catchy in their own rights, plus the music that played during battle and even just regular scenes was also very memorable and catchy. Unfortunately, Vandred did kind of fail to live up to its potential and didn't get the attention that it truly deserved. There was a few key factors that might have contributed towards its decline over time. One of the biggest ones being its limited marketing and distribution. It kind of suffered from a lack of effective marketing, and as a result it prevented it from reaching a wider audience. Plus it was kind of a niche appeal with its blend of sci-fi, mecha, and harem elements. It very much catered to a rather niche audience, and this may have also limited its mainstream appeal. Last of all, it was kind of overshadowed by other contemporaries of its time. As a result, it did eventually fade from the spotlight. While these days it does have a bit of a loyal fan following, at the time it just never really reached its peak potential. Despite the shortfalls I mentioned earlier, Vandred is still a great series, and it deserved a lot more attention than what it got at the time. If you ever happen to see a box set on sale, or happen to see it pop up on a streaming service, I would strongly recommend it. It's a great series and a perfect opportunity to break out the popcorn and just have a great time. If you enjoyed Chiptunes and Chapters, I would really appreciate it if you would leave a review and a rating on your favourite podcast platform. It'll help new listeners to find our podcast. Please also make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss future episodes. Speaking of the future, I'm actually excited about the possibilities of podcasting 2.0 and associated apps like the Fountain app. These allow for some awesome interactive features like tipping your favourite shows, getting bonus content, and much more. So I'd actually encourage you to check out Chiptunes and Chapters using a Podcast 2.0 compliant app to get the full experience in the future. But for now, thanks again for listening. I'll be back soon with more anime, manga, and video game retrospectives to feed your nostalgic needs. This is Kuro signing off for Chiptunes and Chapters. Have a great day.